If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was so hot, it sold out midweek. Earrings for only $79. These earrings are made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. This offer is only good for this week, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word GRACEDIAMOND. Shipping is free.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. Happy Friday. Before we get into it, because what I want to talk about is how it's been a tough week for Democrats, specifically progressives. A lot of melting down, whether it be about Elon Musk, whether it be about the mask mandate, whether it be about Florida Democrats are melting down about the Republicans passing a new congressional map and also being mean to Disney and making Disney pay their fair share, which you would have thought would make all the Democrats happy, but
just pay your fair share.
That's what I'm saying to Mickey Mouse, Jared. Just pay your fair share, Mickey. But Democrats are upset about it. And then CNN Plus goes down. I mean, it's been a really rough week to be Team Joe Biden. By the way, speaking of that, if you want to check out my latest column at spectatorworld.com, I have a piece out and I'm talking about how Bernie Sanders might throw his red beret into the ring for a third time. And I kind of am thinking that maybe.
Blah, 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 blah.
And here's where it gets tricky for Democrats. If we run Trump, if conservatives run Trump, he'll be, how old is he now? I think I read that he'll be 77. In 2024, but I could be wrong on that, but 77 in 2024?
He's okay. 75 now, yes.
Okay, so he'll be 77 in 2024. If they run Bernie, he'll be like 83, Joe will be 82 or 81, you know, they'll be in the 80s, Trump will be in the 70s, but the age thing won't be as much of a winnable argument for Republicans because our guy's not a spring chicken either. However, if Republicans run DeSantis, then you've got like a 46-year-old going up against an 80-something-year-old. It's going to be like Jerry with the Mandelbaums. It's not even going to be fair. It's going to be crazy. So what I thought was, rather than Democrats trying to shy away from this, they've got to lean in. You know, sometimes you got to... You don't want to urinate in the wind, you know, so you got to lean into where it's going. In this case, they should do a team up. You get Bernie and Biden on the same ticket. That's like 167 years of experience of crankiness. And you run that. The older, the better, you know, and that's my idea for Democrats. Go older. Don't stop. Don't try to get Biden and Kamala because she's young and she's a woman. No. Bring it home, you know, get the oldest ticket possible. And maybe the campaign manager can be Joe's little sister, who's also older, Nancy Pelosi.
Reverse psychology. Yeah. Does the trick every time.
I think so. I think it could work. Now, let's talk a little bit. And so you can check that out at spectatorworld.com. Before we get into all of the reasons why Democrats are melting down, including Dr. Fauci's melting down. He's very upset. He was on TV yesterday. We didn't get to any of that audio, so we're going to play it now. Just a few things I've been thinking about. One is, did you see the video of Mike Tyson?
Yes.
Mike Tyson's on an airplane. He's getting ticked off by all of these, by this guy behind him who's just bugging him and bugging him and bugging him. And then he ends up hitting him, right? Jared, do I have that right?
Yes. Yeah, you could say, I don't know if we could go so far as say the guy was harassing him, but it was borderline harassing Mike Tyson verbally.
Yes. And yes. So then what Mike Tyson does is he punched him.
Does what Mike Tyson does.
And I have to say, I never, ever condone violence. Never, ever, ever. However, it is it is something that if you're going to bother someone on an airplane and then they're going to get mad and you're going to bother Mike Tyson, the guy was drunk. You're going to bug Mike Tyson? You know, I hate to be this girl, but as Jared said during the break here, play stupid games, you win stupid prizes. What do you, and this is kind of indicative of where we're at as a society, that people think you can do whatever you want without repercussions. At a certain point in life, someone's gonna knock you out if you keep bugging them. You talk about picking the wrong person to bug on an airplane. You know, that one really, really confused me. And I was just watching Fox News and they have this headline up and it says, "Do you know who Nicolas Cage is?" And I said to Taylor, "Why are they asking if I know who Nicolas Cage is? Why is that a story?" And he said, "According to reports, Gen Zs don't know who Nicolas Cage is." Which is kind of crazy to me, Jared. Because he's not even, I mean, he's not young, but he's not.
He's 58.
He's in a lot of movies. He's in those National Treasure movies.
Yeah, he did a lot of action movies. You know, I mean, that wasn't that long ago.
Is it a generational thing, or is Gen Z specifically just out to lunch? Do they just not pay attention to what's going on around them?
I think Gen Z doesn't watch movies the way previous generations did. They may watch some TV, but a lot of their viewing is TikTok or YouTubers. They can name off 15 YouTubers,
right,
who have whatever that, you know, their channel is. They could name off all of those people. They probably have their own YouTube channels and some degree of quote-unquote fame on there, so they don't pay attention to
Nicolas Cage
or, you know, any of the recognizable stars that
I feel like
pre-TikTok, pre-YouTube generations would get.
I don't think Nicolas Cage cares. I think he's got plenty of money, and he's going, "You don't know who I am? Fine, whatever. I don't need
you
to know who I am."
The only thing Nicolas Cage cares about is that he never got to play Superman. I know that still bugs him, but that's the only thing.
Well, also, he probably cares about the Declaration of Independence. I'm just saying.
Which one? Because I understand there's two,
yes,
declarations.
There's two copies.
Declarations of Independence.
844-500-4242. All right, let's get into the Dr. Fauci of it all. I'm glad we got some of that out of the way. So Dr. Fauci he was talking yesterday and short people got no reason. Short people got no reason. Jared. I hope you never run into Mike Tyson. Because I have a feeling if you try to make fun of Mike Tyson the way you try to make fun of Dr. Fauci, it's not going to end well for you.
No, with Fauci, all I got to do is worry about my ankles.
So Dr. Fauci, this is on CNN Plus, this audio.
Yeah.
This is too much for me.
Four programs they produced, apparently.
I don't even
know if this aired, if it's going to air. It's just there's stuff out there, there's clips out there.
The fact that CNN Plus, in its short time span, has given us so much of the content of the last week, it's making me think maybe we made a mistake. You know, is it worth $1 billion? Probably not, but we're getting some content out of it. So Dr. Fauci's talking about this. He's very upset that that judge in Florida overruled the CDC's decision to keep masks on public transportation. Let's take a listen to Fauci, cut 13.
During the Trump administration, it was no secret that I had to do something that was not pleasant and not comfortable, and I didn't desire it, was I had to be publicly correcting misrepresentation on the part of the president and on the part of people in the administration. You know, the people who were talking about hydroxychloroquine and about ivermectin and about that the virus is going to go away and it's going to disappear. I had to maintain my own integrity as well as my responsibility to the public to tell them the truth.
That clearly alienated a lot of people. Thank you, sir. The hubris of this guy. What about correcting some of your own disinformation? How many lies have you told us? You bragged about lying to us because you were worried how much we could handle and how we'd react to certain information. What about correcting some of the lies you told about masks? Stop worrying about correcting everybody else. And please spare me the integrity, doctor. I've worked with the Wuhan lab and I haven't told anybody the truth about anything. And now he's going to talk about integrity.
I mean, how much arrogance can you fit into a pair of Buster Brown shoes?
Let's also take Dr. Fauci. He was on CBS News. This is cut 18.
But does the CDC, with all respect, have any power anymore if one judge can say no thanks to its mandates?
Well, that's what we're worried about, Bob. We're worried about a precedent that would be a dangerous precedent. The CDC has the capability, through a large number of trained epidemiologists and scientists, to be able to make projections and make recommendations, far more than a judge with no experience in public health.
Oh, I see. So Dr. Fauci wants to be the king of the land. Only Dr. Fauci and the CDC can decide what we should do. That's what he's saying. The power trip that this dude is on is really, and you know what the surprising part is that he doesn't know when to call it quits. Like, he's getting a little too cute by half now. You've lost this one. You've lost this one. You've got to learn to move on. And just digging your heels in is just making you look worse. And it's making Republicans salivate at the idea of being able to investigate you thoroughly when they take back control in November. Again, I want to make this prediction clear. I think Dr. Fauci will be retiring to spend more time with his family come October. And I don't want anyone to forget that. Let's go back to the CNN Plus, though, Jared. Let's have cut 14.
Elements in political elements in society have determined that now they're going to villainize me. So they're going to take the person who was very much admired for reasons of caring for the public health and making it a symbol of everything that's wrong with the world is me. I'm destroying democracy. I'm taking away people's freedom. I'm doing all kinds of crazy things. I should criminalize me, arrest me, kill me, hang me, whatever they want to do. That led to a lot of death threats, which is the reason why I have to have security. But it is purely a reflection of profound and really unfortunate divisiveness in society, which spills over beyond me. You could see it in everything that goes on. I mean, we have gotten into an arena or an era of what I call the normalization of lies.
He is truly obnoxious. And I just want to say this whole thing about I get death threats. I never, ever, 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 ever condone people writing, you know, vicious things or writing death threats at all. But stop acting like you're the only person. I mean, you come after Rand Paul for having the audacity to criticize you. You want to talk about death threats. You want to talk about someone who has seen the viciousness of the other side. Why don't you ask Rand Paul about his neighbor? Why don't you ask Steve Scalise about being shot? Stop acting like, oh, we all have to play you the world's smallest violin because people don't trust you and people don't believe you and people criticize you. And this is the new tactic of the left. You are not allowed to criticize the left without being called a deranged, dangerous terrorist, basically. If you want to question Fauci, if you want to question Joe Biden, if you want to question anybody, you're lumped into this group of vicious nutcases. And I don't think it's working anymore.
You need to cut him some slack. Do you know how much effort it takes to keep Gargamel from discovering his village?
Jared, 844-500-4242. Let's play one more here before we leave. Cut 17. This is Fauci again on CNN Plus.
Both surprised and disappointed, because those types of things really are the purview of the CDC. This is a public health issue. And for a court to come in, and if you look at the rationale for that, it really is not particularly firm. And we are concerned about that, about courts getting involved in things that are unequivocally public health decisions. I mean, this is a CDC issue. It should not have been a court issue. So we're hoping that the inevitable increase in cases which we're seeing are not going to be associated with an increase in hospitalizations. So all of these dynamic things going on at the same time, it was perfectly logical for the CDC to say, wait a minute, we were planning on ending this mandate on a certain date. Let's wait a period of time until May 3rd, which was a very sound public health decision. So for a court to come in and interfere in that.
So you're
really
above the law. You're above the court systems. You're above the law. The CDC can do whatever they want, even though they've been wrong on everything for the last 2 years. They've been wrong on everything. They've reversed everything. They've backtracked on everything. And yet you're above criticism. Got it. Okay, that makes sense. 844-500-4242. Please, if you're a fan of Dr. Fauci, please call in and tell me when we all voted for this guy. Because I don't remember that election. I do not remember checking off his name or filling in a bubble next to Dr. Fauci. And yet he talks to us like he is the president. And my president has two floppy ears and is running around the White House lawn trying to wrangle Joe Biden. So don't come in here and act like you're the Easter Bunny, okay? 844-500-4242. We'll be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Grace Curley. She's here for the love.
Would I rather be feared or loved? Easy, both. I want people to be afraid of how much they love me.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. I hope you are ready for the weekend. We're going to take your calls. We're going to talk to Scott Hounsell in the next segment, and we're going to play a little bit of the Chris Wallace roast that occurred on Greg Gutfeld's program last night. But before we get to any of that, let's go to Andrea. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Andrea.
Hi, Grace. I'm going to tell you how disingenuous Dr. Fauci is. When they came out with the fourth booster, it wasn't the CDC that was driving the decision. It was the drug companies. The original SARS-CoV-2 vaccine that everyone's been taking was developed in 2 days. In February, the drug companies came up and told the CDC that it was going to take until August to come up with an Omicron-specific variant. I must ask then, why could they develop a brand-new vaccine in 2 days, but it's going to take them February, March, April, almost 6 months to do a variant? Could it be that there's an awful lot of vaccine left over that they want to sell first? And by the way, the impetus for the fourth booster is based upon an Israeli study of 6 weeks duration. And what it shows, and you can find this, I'm not making this up, you could find this on YouTube and I can tell you where, after 4 weeks, the efficacy has waned to the point where it's barely worth having taken it. And after 7 weeks, it's totally gone. And where was the CDC? If I can read that, I'm a healthcare professional, but I'm not a doctor. If I can read that and interpret it and listen to doctors interpret it for me and understand it, then so can't Saint Anthony Fauci.
Yeah, and Andrea, you just mentioned an Israeli study, and I think that that's right there is a point in itself. The CDC has so much information and so much data that they just have not released and they have not looked into. And that's why so many people like Rand Paul were constantly referencing studies from Israel, including about natural immunity. If you go back and you listen to Rand Paul, who, by the way, you can't find him on YouTube because I believe he was deplatformed, spreading hate speech and disinformation. But he would talk a lot about studies from Israel about natural immunity. And there was a reason he couldn't talk about them from studies here, because there was really a lack of curiosity on the part of Dr. Fauci to look into natural immunity. He hasn't been talking about it. We're going to talk about that with Scott Hounsell. I really appreciate the call, Andrea, and a lot of great points. Today's poll question is brought to you by Bonner Private Wines. Real red wine, not chemically processed. No morning regrets, just great taste. Made in small batches from family wineries throughout the world. Go to BONNERPrivateWines.com/grace for $60 off your purchase. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think this is the end of Kevin McCarthy's political career?
You know, I think he's two-faced, and I think he's a rhino, and I wouldn't be sad if we made room for real Republicans who aren't afraid or who aren't searching for that strange new respect from the mainstream media. So, yeah, I'm going to say yeah.
Up to 54% now say yes, 46% say no.
It really comes down to whether or not Trump is going to lash out.
Apparently, he's not mad.
Waiting on a statement. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Elements in political elements in society have determined that now they're going to villainize me. So they're going to take the person who was very much admired for reasons of caring for the public health and making it a symbol of everything that's wrong with the world is me.
That was Dr. Fauci. Again, he is playing the victim while also talking about how the CDC should be the only ones to handle public health decisions and the courts should not get involved. Joining us now is not someone who I would describe as a fan of Dr. Fauci per se, from Red State and at Hound Sizzle on Twitter. It's Scott Hounsell. Scott, thank you so much for coming on the program.
Thanks again for having me, Grace, as always.
Let's first get your take on Dr. Fauci. He's still doing these interviews. I keep thinking that he's going to learn that this is just, he's digging a hole further and further for himself. But there he is talking about how the CDC should be the ones making these calls and that the court shouldn't get involved. What do you make of that?
You know, it's one thing for the CDC to make a determination for a virus that has nearly 100%, you know, death rate or something along those lines. But we're talking about the fact of how the low death rate of COVID, much higher than other types of viruses, but still very low. He really is trumping this up, something that's not as big of a deal into something that it is, simply to justify his own actions. If suddenly that he wasn't necessary any longer, people would be starting to question whether or not he was necessary in the first place. Why we were following him for the last 2 years, sometimes blindly because we believed him, and now looking back going, well, maybe the guy didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, and I want to kind of drill down on that, because I remember I had you on the show before, and for people who don't know this, Scott has really done a lot of work as far as the Wuhan lab and Dr. Fauci and his connection to it. And I remember you said that, you know, we really should be thinking about why specifically right now is Dr. Fauci the face of this, because he's been been in this position for a very long time, and there have been pandemics before. And this is the first time where he's insistent that he needs to be the public face of this pandemic response. And you kind of called that into question.
Of course. I mean, why is an 80-year-old man who's been in the business, who's the highest paid person in government, by the way, in the United States federal government, he is the highest paid person. We've been through numerous other pandemics, and now suddenly we're in this new pandemic, and he has to be on the news every day, and he has to be the source of all the information, and he has to tell you whether or not it's true or correct. And the point that exists is, why would he decide to do that? I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. If I were 80 years old and suddenly some major issue came up, I'd be retiring faster than you could shoo me out the door. and the fact that he sticks around and insists that he's the conduit for all this information just goes to show that he's trying to control the narrative, trying to control the information. And I only think that that's because the fact that he likely had something to do with the fact that this was created. A virus created out of a lab in China. And now he's trying to say, well, we didn't fund it. We knew nothing about it. And meanwhile, trying to control how we handle our response. It's really sad to see that we can't question him even.
Yeah.
Questioning him is considered bad.
And I want to talk a little bit about if Republicans are to take over in November. I know you've talked about how they have expressed sincere efforts that they're going to try to investigate Dr. Fauci, investigate the Wuhan lab. I mean, oftentimes we get these reports from Red State, and then months later, you know, a publication will say, oh, you know, it's okay to talk about now, and they'll report on it. But really, we need our government officials to look into this and figure out what happened. But then when you see what's going on with Kevin McCarthy right now, are you nervous about Republicans getting back in control and kind of wimping out on this?
Unfortunately, I'll never trust any Republicans that promise to do anything once they're in power. I mean, we've seen it numerous times where they've promised to take action about something. I'll believe it when I see it. Certainly, I would like to see some more investigation into the Wuhan lab, into the United States federal government funding research at a Chinese military viral lab. But the point is, I don't trust that there will be. You know, I don't trust Kevin McCarthy any further than I can throw him. That doesn't mean that I don't hope that he takes the action, but I just definitely don't trust that there will be any action taken.
Yeah. Now, Scott, just to switch gears here for a second, one of the programs that we played some sound from Dr. Fauci on earlier was CNN Plus. I'm sure you heard the sad news yesterday that CNN Plus is going out of business. Do you care to give us your take on that?
I don't know why it even came into existence in the first place. Could you imagine that Zoom meeting where they all got together and, you know, they told Jeffrey Toobin to turn off his camera first, and then they all got together and said, you know, people don't want to watch our show for free, so why don't we start charging for it? Like, I just don't understand where the thought process came along. There isn't a demand for CNN to begin with. So purely out of a business decision, you can't get people to subscribe to you for free. Your ratings are trash. So why are all of a sudden it's not a surprise in any way, shape, or form. You'd think that it would have lasted a little bit longer than a Kardashian marriage, but it obviously didn't. And so here we are. Just what, 22 days later. Eulogizing the loss of this huge news network that provided us with so much good content for the 22 days.
Yeah, they really did, Scott. And, you know, we're pouring one out for CNN Plus today. But I have to ask you, there has been this push by Democrats, including Dr. Fauci and Obama as of late, where they're talking about disinformation. As someone who has often been labeled a source of disinformation, although I should point out, you are always proven right. You do your research. You file for a lot of those onerous FOIA requests. But how do you feel when you hear these people who have pushed so much disinformation and who have questioned your research and your investigating now going on these platforms and talking about how people need to be censored for pushing conspiracy theories?
I genuinely believe that, like, we have libel and slander laws in the country, but I think that there should be additional a law that that states that if you label someone as misinformation or disinformation or as propaganda or as conspiracy theory, and it later comes to be true, you should be, you know, held liable for those statements. Oftentimes they can say, what the way they get around these libel suits is they say, well, at the time there was no information to support their reporting. And so they get away with it. I think that there needs to be more action taken about this to prevent people from labeling things as disinformation. When Jennifer Van Laar and I reported on Hunter Biden's business dealings in China in October 2020, we were labeled by NBC News as Pizzagate conspiracy theorists. And now here we are, you know, what, 18 months later, and looking at it going, oh, yeah, well, I guess that was all true. And we're not going back to change the outcome of the election. We're not going back, even though 16% of Democrat voters said they would not have voted for Biden under the current with the current Hunter Biden information. There's a ton of information to show that this would have fundamentally altered the course of our country's history. But we were labeled as disinformation. Those people that labeled us as that had no intention other than to elect Joe Biden. And those people, still have jobs. They still are able to go out on the air and tell people what they think about information or about current events. It's sad. It truly is sad. And I hope that at some point in the future, in the near future, there is an ability to hold those people accountable for when they lie about true and correct reporting.
Yeah, and I oftentimes say this, but I think what would be a good rule, because I agree with you that people should be held accountable, but at the very least, we should have like an equal time rule, where if you spent X amount of time calling something bogus, or if you want to flip it, let's say you took all of the time that the mainstream media talked about the Russian hoax and, you know, Trump being a puppet of Putin, you should have to spend just as much time talking about how you were wrong and explaining to your viewers why you were wrong. It's the very least they should be held accountable for.
Fantastic idea. I love it. Let's do it.
All right, Scott.
Let's get Kevin McCarthy on the phone, and let's get it on the next legislative docket.
I feel like he's going to be a lot more careful on the phone from now on, now that this audio got leaked. Scott Hounsell, thank you so much for joining us. Scott, tell everyone where they can find you on Twitter, and of course, you can read all of his work at redstate.com.
At Hound Sizzle across all social media platforms.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott. I'm glad Scott brought up the Hunter Biden thing, because I do want to play a cut here for the listeners, and we'll see if people want to tune in or if people want to call in about this. This was CBS News and Catherine Herridge. You don't see her as much anymore, but this was Catherine Herridge on CBS News reporting on Hunter Biden. This is cut 24, please.
Prosecutors investigating Hunter Biden have subpoenaed documents from a 2019 paternity lawsuit.
Yeah, those documents include tax records from the president's son dating back to 2017. Investigators obtained records from the lawyer who represented the woman who filed the 2019 lawsuit, claiming Hunter Biden was the father of her child. That lawyer told CBS News prosecutors, quote, wanted every record relating to Hunter Biden we had.
Yeah, now this is why it's important. And you know, we just had Scott on from Red State. This piece is by Red State, Nick Arama, who I read all the time. Catherine Herridge breaks down new Hunter and Jim Biden info and why the timing matters. So that lawyer is Clint Lancaster. And he's the lawyer for London Roberts. I'm sorry. Yeah, he is London Roberts' attorney. And London Roberts is Hunter Biden's baby mama. The reason this matters is because the subpoena requested, it's the timing of this, they requested information regarding Hunter Biden's income, assets, debts, obligations, and financial transactions, and all personal and business expenditures, as well as any tax documents they might have had on him. And their request specified January 2017 to the present. Now, that's important because that was when... January 17th to the president, says Herridge said she didn't want to speculate, noting that the White House has claimed that Joe Biden wasn't involved. But Herridge added that they also found out in their process of their investigation about another subpoena that would issues that was issued in 2019 and sought not only Hunter Biden's records, but all records, documents and accounts pertaining to all financial banking transactions between 15 business entities and Hunter Biden, as well as two business partners dating back to 2014. Now, 2014 is important because Joe Biden was still vice president back then. And this is where we're linking it all in. And this makes me very happy because I just, the thing that cracks me up, and I know they have to do their due diligence. We wouldn't want to spread misinformation, but they keep saying, we have no information that makes us believe that Joe Biden's involved in this at all. And I'm like, but we do, right? I mean, we have... I know that Hunter is not a reliable narrator, but we do have a lot of emails and texts and the big guy and H and 10%. I mean, we do have some context that would make us think that perhaps, potentially, supposedly, as Dr. Fauci would say, conceivably, Joe could very much be involved in all of this shenanigans. Due to the incredible demand, Eden Pure is extending the Diamond XL special until Sunday, April 24th. If you're like me, you've always wanted diamond stud earrings, but the price and the fear of losing them has stopped you. Last Valentine's Day, this deal was really hot. We sold out midweek, so don't hesitate. You can get a 1-carat stunning diamond alternative pair of earrings for only $79. That's right. Each is 1 carat, making it a total of 2 for only $79. The quality is amazing. I wear these all the time. I get so many compliments. They sparkle more than a genuine diamond, and they're just really nice to wear because you're not worried about losing them, because if you have a real pair of diamond earrings and you lose one, you're in trouble. So I wear them all the time, and they're made by Eden Pure's sister company, Lindenwold Fine Jewelers. They've been in business for 54 years. They have over 8 million satisfied customers, and you have a choice between silver or gold vermeil. They come in a beautiful black velvet gift box. Don't forget mom. Mother's Day's coming up. You know she's going to tell you, don't buy me anything. I don't need a gift. Don't listen to her. She does need a gift. She deserves a gift. So get mom a nice pair of diamond earrings. Go to diamondxl.com and save $120 with code word Grace Diamond. These are diamond stud alternative earrings. Shipping is free. That's diamondxl.com, code Grace Diamond, and shipping is guaranteed before Mother's Day. 844-500-4242. We're going to have a little bit of fun with CNN Plus when we come back. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
All right, so CNN Plus is no more, and some people have been having a little bit of fun with this. But before we get to that, Jared, could I have that sound you were just playing during the break? Brian Stelter is trying to investigate what went wrong with CNN Plus. This is kind of like O.J. Simpson trying to find the real killer. If anyone has a mirror at CNN and they could just hand it to Brian Stelter.
Damn! Jeffrey Toobin?
Dare I say he might be able to crack the case? This is like Kamala Harris trying to get to the root causes of the border crisis when she's sitting next to Joe Biden. Physicians, heal thyself. So Brian Stelter brings on a guest, and they're trying to connect the dots, read between the lines, link it all together. Let's hear it.
All the sources I've been talking to the last 24 hours, they say this is just a crazy clash of strategies. Warner Media, the old team, Jason Kilar, Jeff Zucker had one vision. The new team has a very different vision. And the new team won.
Wait,
is that
on.
What you think really happened?
Wait, hold on. One vision is make money and have viewers. And the other vision is spend billions of dollars and get no subscribers and have no one watching. Do I have that right? Which vision will win out in the end? This is a clash of the titans.
Boy, these crazy new business people, huh? Wanting to make money.
Yeah, it's a weird model these new guys have where they want to have viewers and they want to make money and they want to have people actually watching.
It's a hell of a lot of journalism.
And they want us to produce content that people enjoy.
See, they don't understand, these new people, that CNN and CNN Plus are the gatekeepers of the information that the public needs.
It's like they can't figure out why people don't like them, and they're really trying. You know, Red Steez, Stephen Miller, has a piece at Spectator where he says, it's not us, it's you. You know, like, we can help you figure it out. We don't like you. You are annoying. You talk down to people. You condescend. You generalize. You make us all seem like we're racist, credulous boomer rubes. You're smug. You're obnoxious. You lie. You spread fake news. Anything ringing a bell here?
That's the truth.
Let's take a listen to a little bit of Greg Gutfeld yesterday, cut 23.
This game may look like just a bunch of words, but the cable news media, we hold ourselves News Nation.
Oh, news. All right. Well, we'll hold off on that. I'm not sure what happened there. But a lot of people were having some fun with CNN Plus yesterday. And I have to say that the one that still wins it for me is I have information that will lead to the arrest of Hillary Clinton from the CNN Plus Twitter account. But I also want to read you a couple of things from Town Hall. This is Spencer Brown. 13 things that lasted longer than CNN Plus. Tom Brady's retirement, the Senate trial of Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein in jail, New Coke, which Howie mentioned yesterday, the flood, transitory inflation. All of this stuff lasted longer. Let's hear a little bit of Greg.
The Democratic bench is thinner than Chris Wallace's demo reel from CNN Plus.
It's very thin.
Thanks. I just needed to get that in there. But BLM has done to black people what Chris Wallace did to CNN Plus. Entice them with a promise and then ditch them on the side of the road. I'm going to do this every segment, so just get used to it. Well, to quote Chris Wallace, I don't think the credibility of this initiative is sustainable.
As you should, Greg. You should do that every segment, every show from now on. All right, we'll be right back with your calls. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.